Well, good morning, and welcome back to the God School. Before we get started in today's message, and this is very unusual for me, I'm not sure that in the future, if you submit questions to me through the comment section in this website, that we might not take from time to time effort in an attempt to answer your question. Today I'm going to do that. I got a question from a participant in the God School who says, something I've struggled with greatly, rushing my walk with God, it's to do with confession of sins. My understanding is that all sin was dealt with at Calvary, and that it is the righteousness of Jesus that God sees when looking at a believer. That's true. So why is the confession of sins needed? I'll try to answer that. And they go on to say, there is also a verse that says we should confess our sins to each other. Perhaps you could enlighten me. Basic Christianity. The power of the gospel, wherein we become a new creation in Christ. What's the result of that new creation? We become a dual person. The old man and the new creation in Christ. They are not one in the same. It's true. The Spirit of God does, by faith, come and dwell in us. And the essential self that part of what God is newly creating through His Son also not only has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, called the Holy Spirit, dwell in them, but Christ also places that new creation, or God also places that new creation in Christ. But as long as we breathe the air of this earth, as long as we walk, as long as we eat and sleep, as long as we live in this fleshly body, the old man is still alive. I can't remember his name, but in my journey through God's Word, one theologian put it this way, and he said, the greatest of all sin is to be conscience of none. To be conscious of none is the greatest of all sin. God does not instantly transform this mortal into immortality. All at one time, which some in the church would have you believe. First John, the first chapter, addresses this not as clearly as we would like, but he says, beginning in the 5th verse, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him," that is Jesus, "and declare unto you that God is light, and in him," that is in God, "is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he," God, "is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins," and the word there is homologia, "with our mouth," confess to who? Confess to God. This verse, that this questioner is getting close to quoting, comes out of James, 5th chapter, wherein he says we're to confess our sin, our faults, one to another. I got to tell you something. I know the Catholics mess this up when they say you go to confession, you confess to a priest, he's a man, he's the same as you or I, and you get your sins forgiven because he gives you absolution. I'm telling you, the only one that can absolve and has absolved you of your sins is Jesus Christ, and that through the blood he shed on Calvary. As we take this journey on, this journey of faith, we are moved by the power of God in a dual, I'm searching for a word, direction. The old man with all his sins and the new man in Christ. But to deny the existence, the continued existence of the first, is, as John puts it, is, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And I have come across some in the Christian community that I honestly testify, they believe with all their hearts they don't sin. They're deceiving themselves. With regard to confessing our faults one to another, look, a conclusion I can draw from these decades in God's Word is something I know about each and every one of you, including myself, that we are deceitfully sinful and desperately wicked and are in need of a Savior. And we Christians do confess that Jesus Christ is Savior of all. This little verse, taken out of context, confess your faults one to another, where of which James is pretty proficient at taking things out of context, has led to many movements, deacon board meetings, where someone who's caught in some kind of sin is going to be brought up before the brothers, given an opportunity to profess their sins. These are probably the most widely attended meetings that the church has all year, because everybody wants to hear about the other guy's sin. They've led to a movement. The name of which is escaping me at the moment. Oh, to a movement called Accountability Partners. As though some other human being looking at you is in a position to help you from your sins, to absolve you of your sins. And the only one, and this is heresy also, strong word, I know, but the only one who can absolve us of our sins, and who did by taking them on himself and giving his life on that tree, is Jesus Christ. And so as long as we live in this body, we will sin, not because we will sin because we are sinners in need of a Savior, and God in his grace provided such for us. Confess your short fallen condition to God. John declares, and he that is faithful and righteous, that is, he keeps covenant, and we in the new covenant, the new testament, rely all and run to him always, and do not only confess our sins, but at the same time we do declare he has forgiven all our sins. Now, I don't know if I made the subject more clear or more complicated for that individual. I hope that some of what I've said has come home to all the listeners at the God School, and that we continue trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, by whose blood we are cleansed from all our sins. I want you to open your Bibles to the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. We've been here before. We're back again. Now, the Apostle Paul, who I believe is the author of the book of Hebrews, there is no doubt in my mind, is writing to fellow Hebrews, more specifically to Jews who have converted, have been converted by the call of God, by the hearing of faith, by the demonstration of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead, who are experiencing, as a result of all that, a lot of trouble. And in the third chapter, Paul continues speaking to those folks, and he says, "Wherefore, holy brethren," he's not talking about, you know, those walking around with halos around their head. He's talking about committed ones, those of you who have committed your life and all of it to God. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, our declaration, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him." That is, Jesus was faithful to God that appointed Jesus, as Moses was in all his house. "For this man," that is Jesus, "was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house." God made us. He has more glory than this body wherein he does. And I'm speaking to Christians, wherein he does dwell. And Moses was truly faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. When Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness, God said, build it exactly as I have instructed you. The reason being, this was to in type and symbol, this was to describe Christ. That's not where we're going today, but eventually, through all the pictures of the Old Testament that God gives us of Christ, and what Christ said was, when you read the scriptures, they speak of him. He was the manifestation. The sixth verse says, but Christ as son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, we were on that word confidence within the last few weeks, and it means to freely or boldly speak, and speak openly, and speak of the hope, that is, that promise of God, that in fact we are a new creation, that God has put his spirit in us, and he has placed us in Christ. That's our hope. And the result of that is that we will spend eternity with God, where, in addition to many other no mores, one of the no mores is no more sin. But we're not there yet. If we gotta continually be bold and outspoken about what Christ has done. Wherefore, now we have a parenthesis, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in to my rest. Take heed, brethren. Paul says, pay attention, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This word, being translated unbelief in the Greek, is apistis. And there's no middle ground in the Greek. You're either going one way or another. If you're operating and living by faith, if you're acting on the promises, you're going towards God. If you're in apistis, you're going away from God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, this is the second time in these verses we have encountered the English word harden. The Greek word is scleruno, and you know, I find it amazing the influence that the Greek language has on the English. My father, one of his conditions, as he suffered the last several years of his life, one of his conditions was arterial sclerosis, a hardening. Nothing could get through. We gotta open our hearts to the message of God, and as the messages we receive, then we have to open our mouths that the word might flow. And might continue to flow and not become hardened and restricted. Arterial sclerosis, that's a restricting of the veins and the arteries where the blood flows, wherein is life. And if it's not flowing, you ain't living. But we're talking to those who are living in Christ. We need to let the word of God flow. We need to let the promises of God flow and not be hardened. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, we have two different words translated, one in the 6th and now one in the 14th, using the same English word, confidence. This word in the 14th verse in the Greek is hypostasis. And the best translation I could give you is, for an understanding of this word, is title deed. For years, I was in the real estate business. And when you owned a property, you got a title deed to it. Whether you occupied that property at the present time or not, the title deed that you had was proof of your ownership. This same word is translated in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, hypostasis, of things not seen. We're not home yet. As we're on this journey, we are still sinners, but we have the promise of God and the hope of God. And by the promise, the title deed, that we are cleansed from all our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, or as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. I don't know if I like this translation. I think more appropriate would say, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Even all that came out of Egypt by Moses. They witnessed unbelievable deliverance from Egypt. They witnessed miracle after miracle by God. And yet, they still provoked God. They attempted to, they tempted him and attempted to prove him. And it grieved God. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? All that came out of Egypt, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. To them that faithed not. To them that trusted not. To them who, having seen the manifestation of the power of God to deliver, by looking around at their circumstance, they said, I know I've seen all this. I know I've heard all this. But there's got to be more. No, there's not more. God said it. That's enough. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. As he said, so shall it be, and as he has spoken, so it is. The 19th verse, so we see that they could not enter in because of apistis. Let us, Paul goes on in the 4th chapter, and no chapter and verse in the original. Let us therefore fear. The word is phobia. It says in another place in Paul's writings, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Let us therefore fear lest a promise of God being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Dr. Scott cut through all this stuff and said, wait one day too long. You know, when God had promised to bring him to the land flowing with milk and honey, hesitated. And before they went in, they sent in spies, and the spies scoured the land, and the spies came back, and out of two of the witnesses, they declared all and more that the Lord promised is ahead of us. And the rest of them said, we see giants, and we be as grasshoppers before them. And they began to doubt again God's word, and God got fed up, and he told them, so now you're not going to enter in. And after they got that, declaration by God, they said, they didn't say we're sorry. Oh, we'll go now. We'll go now. God said, nope, you're one day too late. You are one day too late. We got to fear that. Paul says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Greek word being used here, mixed with faith, is a word that we get our English word from, synergized. When components are mixed, and proper components are mixed with other components, there's a synergy and something happens. It says, not being synergized with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, listen. Well, let's go on and then we'll go back and concentrate. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Do have confidence in their works. You know, I was at a gathering several weeks ago where there was a reasonably prominent minister or preacher, and he was talking to a woman, and she asked the question, so what are you doing? And he just read off this list of you know, we're distributing Bibles in this country, and we're building hospitals in that country, and, you know, we're delivering tracts in this country, and we're doing all kinds of great works. And this Bible, my Bible, your Bible, God's Word, declares the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We read of Jesus Christ, the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. God's intention for His people is to put them in Christ. And before He spoke anything into existence, it says, before the foundations of the world, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, was slain. We are to have our confidence in God's work. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter in to my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, the opposite of unbelief, the opposite of apistis is pistis. The opposite of unbelief is faith. The prohibitive factor of entering into that rest is non-faith. Therefore, if we desire to enter in, what is required for the entrance? Faith, trust. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. What? Trust in what? Trust in God's promises. I assure you, they're more real than anything you'll ever encounter in this life. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, and he's quoting the 95th Psalm, if you want to go there, time's running out here. Go read it. Today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice. And faith comes by hearing. Harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, now he's speaking of Joshua here, Greek word for Jesus is the Greek word for the Hebrew name Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Therefore there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Now, let me continue on. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter in to that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, I don't have the exact number. It was 5 or 6 or 7 times in these third and fourth chapters of Hebrew we encounter an English word rest. But when it says in the 9th verse of this 4th chapter, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, every other time it's a different Greek word. Every other time it's a different Greek word than that which is in this 9th verse. This 9th verse, the Greek word is sabbatismos. And it is a synonym, if I could translate it, giving a new word, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath thing. There remaineth therefore a faithing to the people of God. In the 11th verse, it says, let us labor. When the story of the children of Israel going into the promised land, crossing the river Jordan, they entered in the springtime. The springtime was a time when the winter snows were melting and the Jordan River was at flood stage, raging. If you've ever seen a raging river, you know, I have to tell you, takes a pretty brave soul to get into that water, because not only is it rushing, but it's cold. And the story is that God held up, as he opened the Red Sea, he held up the flow of the Jordan. And it says, they hasted across. Let us make haste. Why? When? Today. While it is called today. While God is holding up the floodwaters of the Jordan, that his promise might be fulfilled to those who are trusting him. Today. Not yesterday. Not tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice. For the word of God is quick, that is life-giving and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I leave that explanation to the theologians. That is the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You know, I've heard people talk on it. That's not the subject today. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us exercise power in our profession. With the heart, man believes, with the mouth, declaration is made. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us, having said all this, Paul now says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And that word come in the Greek is in a form where it not only says right now, but it says continue. Keep coming. Keep coming. Boldly unto the throne of unmerited favor, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Dr. Scott said, you know, and find grace in the nick of time, before it's too late. Help in the time of need. In my study, looking at the Greek, you know what this word is? Help. The word is biothea. Biothea. And I said, oh, man, that sounds familiar. What is it? And in his kindness, God reminded me of the teaching just a few weeks ago, on Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We even taught on this in the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, that is the Greek translation from the Hebrew. They translate this word in the English, secret place, from the Hebrew to the Greek, and the word is biotheo. Running to protect. And find grace running in time of need. The response to that declaration in Psalm 91 in the first verse, which says, God will run to protect us. The response to that declaration is, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. This throne of grace, unto this throne of unmerited favor. Which we have in Christ Jesus, and that by faith. Let us continue to boldly speak out of what God has done for us, because if we do, the promise of God is in the nick of time, before it's too late, God will help us today while it is called today. Run, hasten, lean. Grab hold of a promise of God that fits you, because that's what God responds to. And that's the God School for today.